Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah, Brother Jed. And yes, inshallah, we're now crossing over to Mufti Ilyas Saab. And we'd like to welcome Mufti Saab on the question and the answer session. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, JazakAllah for your time. It's wonderful speaking to you again. And inshallah, we thank you for your time. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. And to the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite, inshallah, and those listening to Radio Islam via the internet around the world, if you have any questions, you can call us on 0118541548. And due to technical problems, we cannot take your calls live. So to get your questions answered, call us on 0118541548. And those questions will then be directed to us by Sheikh Jed, inshallah, and Aziz, as I move to start and answer those questions. And also, you can SMS us your questions, and the SMS number is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the SMS number to send your questions is 082-580-8070. We are waiting for your calls and your SMSs to come through. With that, we have a few facts that were sent to Radio Islam, and the first one being from, I think, Intrada Singh. That assalamu alaikum. I want to find out if we as Muslims are permitted to assist a non-Muslim at a funeral. There is a non-Muslim that works with us, and his mother just passed away, and the guys at work are making a monetary collection to assist him. Are we allowed to support him and give him money?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the case that has been stated, this is just a mere monetary assistance, and it will be in the light of Sharia permissible to make your monetary contribution there. And however, if it is going to entail you going for the services or celebrations or functions, then definitely Sharia will not allow you to do so. But to contribute because a fellow worker or it was a neighbor or non-Muslim parent, then it will be permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah Mufti Saab, the time is 40 minutes past 9 o'clock, and the number to call is 0118541548, and the SMS number to send your questions is 0825808070. I repeat, it's 0825808070. Mufti Saab, I have one question via SMS. It says, Maulana, I'm a 17 year old girl. I'm writing a book and I'd like to donate my income, but I heard that there is an Islamic way of donating my money. Is this true?
First of all, that you're 17 year old and also female and you're writing a book. However, you should consult with the ulama via your parents that what are you writing? Is it under guidance? Is it Islamic? Is it proper? Is it valid? Then also to publish it and to market it, etc., you as a female have got certain laws and restrictions to abide by. So you should definitely take ulama guidance in what you are doing via your parents. However, that after you make profit from your book, you can, because that is your legally right and your money, you are the owner and possessor of it, you may donate it to any good cause and aid those who are starving, feed those who are hungry, load those who are naked, etc., you may do so.
Alright, the next question on SMS is, the wearing of Bermudas for Salah, is it permissible? The wearing of Bermudas.
As I understand that Bermuda is that trouser which the males are generally wearing, mostly at the beachfront, etc., and it covers the knee and flows a little past the knee. Although Salat will be permissible wearing the Bermuda, but definitely it is highly undesirable, not befitting for Salat to be performed in that type of clothing which is absolutely casual, and it is barely covering the sutr of the male. One side we have got validity of salat, but on the other side we have to strive for acceptance of salat. So the more we abide by the sharia in dressing, before salat, in salat, during salat, then our salat stands a chance of acceptance. However, in an emergency, wearing the bermuda will be permissible, or we should not discard salat per se.
Alright, JazakAllah for this answer. We start. The next question is on computer anonymous system. She says, if the wife discovered that the husband is having an affair with a non-Muslim, or rather he's having affairs, Mufti Saab, how can she get rid of him? What must she do?
First of all, that this is an extremely strong claim and accusation she is making. If she is very certain of it, then definitely those are adequate grounds for her to apply for fasakh, dissolution of marriage, and that can be done these days via the jamiat. She should go to the local jamiat officers and formulate her complaint and her suspicions, etc. The jamiat will make the necessary observations, investigations, and they will take the matter forward. But I must insist that she has to be very certain, because this is a grave and very strong allegation, accusation she is making against her husband. So she should have checked in front of her when she's going to present to the jamiat. She should have some solid evidence, otherwise it is going to fizzle away.
I have another question from somebody. SMS says, from a girl, from a sister, that I want to get married. Alhamdulillah, I make dua every single day. I've read wazifas for over a year. Lots of boys ask me out, but I don't want a boyfriend. She says further that boys don't want to get married without coming out. Advice, please.
You are stating this. This is an extremely common problem. And alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you steadfastness in your stand of not accepting these offers of going out. Islam does not permit courtship prior marriage. Courtship prior marriage is absolutely illegal, haram, bringing the curse and wrath, anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the doers. So you should carry on making dua and make firm intention that you will stand on Islamic grounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sooner or later will bring a good proposal to you, and you should not be worried about those who are trying to laugh and mock at you and jeer at you, that you are not going out and you are not being forward and you are so-called not adopting to the modern era, or you are essentially backwards, etc. Do not worry about all those thoughts and those mocking statements. Be firm on Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid and help and nusrat and support is with those who act upon the Sharia of Islam.
Ameen. JazakAllah, Mufti Saab, and the sisters. May Allah keep us steadfast. Allah give us istiqamah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep her happy. And may Allah grant her and others a perfect match, a good proposal, a good, loving, pious, and kind husband. Ameen. The time is 1 minute past 9 o'clock. Now, Church Radio Islam, Edom 1548. If you have any questions, you can SMS us the questions, and the cell phone number is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the SMS number is 082-580-8070, and the number to call is 011-854-1548. And those questions, inshallah, will then be directed to us by Brother Jen. The next question is from an anonymous brother asking, Mufti Saab, can I keep a bird in a cage?
Keeping a bird in the cage, ulama ikram have stated few things which are principal in nature. That animal or that bird which can be accustomed or habituated to be caged, and you are not oppressing it or you are not suppressing its freedom in any way, then it is permissible to do so. But those animals or those birds that are not accustomed to be caged up, it is not permissible to cage them. However, those birds that are accustomed to be caged, you may cage them, but there are certain riders or there are certain conditions. You have to care for them, you have to feed them, give them water to drink in your presence, and especially when you go on vacation or holiday, they have to be cared for adequately, sufficiently. Comes in the hadith in Bukhari that the sparrows and the little birds die out of cold because of the amal of man. So we should be extremely cautious about keeping your birds in cages. If we do not know how to care and look after them, then definitely abstain and do not do so.
The gentleman, please stop. It's 23 minutes past 9 o'clock. We have another question in marital problem. The sister says that I want to terminate my nikah. It regards my husband. He doesn't support me financially, and sometimes he is abusive towards me. She says, I'd like to terminate the nikah by giving him the mehr that he gave to me, although he disapproves of that. She doesn't want the money. And she says further, I've already started my 1 month iddah. This is with regards to that. What is the status of the nikah? The husband does not want to break the nikah, he wants to make up.
First of all, that there are many aspects to this difficult problem. One is that she is unhappy and she wants to break up the nikah. And as a rule, if female cannot institute, activate the divorce or give the divorce. Thirdly, that she is saying that he is not financially supporting her, which is a ground for dissolution of marriage. And she should take the proper channels and follow the proper protocol, meaning going to your local jamiat, putting your case down, applying for it. You have got a strong case, and you cannot. She says she is sitting in iddat, that she cannot sit in iddat before issuing of the talaq. So she cannot preempt sitting in iddat. The talaq has not been given. Therefore, her iddat, without the issuing of the talaq from the husband's side or official dissolution of marriage from any authoritative body side, she cannot sit for iddat. And also, she should know about the mehr, that if he wants the mehr back and she gives it back, no problem, she can take a divorce that way. And if she wants to pay extra, we call it khula, she can buy her divorce. Thirdly, if the divorce is given and he does not want the mehr back, that is also in place and in order. So the right course of action is to go to the local authority, the jamiat, to resolve the matter. Do not take the decision making in your own hands, because taking decisions unilaterally does not solve or does not resolve this nikah or this marriage.
And the next question is also with regards to nikah. The brother wants to know that what are the grounds by which the nikah can be terminated by the ulama or jamiat of ulama?
There are various grounds by which fasakh, dissolution of marriage, can take place. For example, if the husband absconds. Secondly, if the husband disappears. Thirdly, if the husband becomes insane. Fourthly, if the husband becomes impotent. Fifthly, if the husband does not financially support the woman. Sixthly, if the husband mentally tortures her. Seventhly, if the husband physically abuses her. And eighthly, if the husband has now become a nuisance and not caring, then he's involved in drug taking, drug trafficking, alcoholism, or any one of these evil vices which practically destroy the marriage, like gambling, womanizing, all those things.
Those are the grounds by which any casting is terminated. The time is 27 minutes past 9 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam Medium by 1548. To get your questions answered, you can call us right now on 011-854-1548. And the questions will then be directed by Shared to us. And this is due to technical problems that you cannot come on air live with your calls. And also you can SMS us questions, and the SMS number is 0825808070. I repeat, it's 0825808070. The next question is with regards to a job. The brother wants to know, sorry, just getting it. He says, Salam, Mufti Saab, and whatever, can you please give me a dua I can read to get a job?
The person who is seeking a job, it is stated by some ulama ikram that after the Fajr Salat, to recite 70 times Surah Lila fi Quraysh, and then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a job. Secondly, when looking for a job, also it is stated by experience that read the Surah Lila fi Quraysh, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless the person with a job. Also, the simple formula and the best formula is to make two rakats, Salatul Hajat, Salat of Need and Necessity, and pray to Allah, implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make a lot of istighfar before the dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a job, inshallah you will get a job.
Ameen, inshallah, may Allah give the brother a job and everybody else a job as well. The next question is, Mufti Saab, the girl says, the sister said, I would like to start wearing parram, but my parents don't think I should because of our modern society. I feel I'm ready, but they don't. What can I do?
First of all, that parda is necessary, parda is essential, parda is faraz. The wearing of the hijab is part and parcel of Islam, and it is a characteristic of Islam, symbol of Islam. It is a sign of modesty, morality, and chastity, honor, and dignity. The one wearing it should feel honored. And also remember that where the parda and hijab is one. And remember, the hijab also lies in not talking to others freely, not talking with a flirtatious voice to others, not mixing with others' meaning, strange men. And not interacting freely with a stage man. You should be steadfast in what you are trying to do. The solution is very simple, that look in your family, those who are close to your father's side or mother's side, who are in hijab. Get them to talk to your father or mother and convince them in the light of Sharia that this is the right thing to do by pleasing Allah, Allah's mercy, and boots and favors will descend upon that household which carries out and practices the Shariat of Islam. So get those involved. Otherwise, get some ulama ikram to come and speak to your parents about the necessity and benefits and virtues of hijab. However, that you should also read up on this, make research on it, and present academic proof to your that this is part and parcel of the noble mode of conduct of Islam.
Alright, Jazakallah, and if the sister wants more information with regards to all the proofs, etc., with regards to Parda, you can call us at Radio Islam, and the number here is 8547022. And Mufti Saab, alhamdulillah, it's quite pleasing to know that our sister, the young sisters, are trying to be steadfast in deen. And earlier we had a sister who said she doesn't worry about the boys, but rather she wants to get married. May Allah Rabbul Izzat give them and keep them steadfast on deen. Ameen. The next question is, Mufti Saab, today is only about marriages, etc. Anonymous sister says, is there any reward from Allah for a widow who stayed without marriage after her husband passed away to bring up the children?
Definitely, provided that she remains safe and she protects her honor and chastity and she is noble and she does not do wrong things and she does not act evilly. She does this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely, she will get high reward, the reward of jihad, and she will be given good status in Jannah.
Ameen, inshallah, so there is reward. So the next question on computer is from an anonymous brother who says that my wife used to leave the house without my permission all the time, and she used to go to stay with her family for long periods of time. What must I do, and what is her right in this situation, and what are my rights?
First of all, we should try as far as possible to adhere to the Sharia of Islam. The Sharia of Islam is blessed and sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Sahabi went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he had instructed his wife that she should not leave her house. And in his absence, her father fell ill. He informed Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that her father is ill, but her husband did not give permission, or had not given permission prior to his departure, what she should do. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that stay at home. Later on, he got information that her father's condition has deteriorated and he would like to visit. He informed Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who stated that no, stay at home. Further, it was stated, and the story comes in Hayat al-Sahaba, that the father of the female Sahabiya passed away. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hurried, made salat al-janaza, and then told the Sahabas, go tell her that her father has gained Jannah because of her obedience to Sharia. Because of her obedience to Sharia, her father has been granted Jannah. Now, we take this very lightly, and the rights of the husband, the wife does not fulfill most of the times. The rights of the wife, in most cases, are not fulfilled by the husband. And there seems to be a gross misunderstanding which leads people to say that Islam is trying to suppress the woman and giving the husband more rights, etc., whereas this is not the case. So the husband should outline what he expects of his wife, and they should, in agreement, keeping the noble blessed Sharia in front, act accordingly, make decisions accordingly. In the case stipulated above, that the husband should now re-explain his stance according to the Sharia, and then they can take the matter forward.
Alright, Muslim, JazakAllah for that wonderful incident. It's a very important point you brought up, JazakAllah. And that incident shows the importance of obeying the husband and vice versa as well. And may Allah remove the misunderstandings between both couples, husband and wife. 21 minutes to 10 o'clock, the SMS number to call is 082-580-8070. I repeat, it's 082-580-8070. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. Anonymous sister asks Mufti Saab, if you are performing a Hajj and Badr but from your money, can you perform it as Hajj and Tamattu?
When you are making Hajj and Badr will be of two types. One is wasiya, other one is ghair wasiya. Wasiya requested by the deceased. That will also be of two types. One stipulated that I would like my money to be utilized for a certain type of Hajj. And one is non-stipulated, that just perform the Hajj. So in that non-stipulated wasiya and the ghair wasiya, which is nafil Hajj badal, the person who's making the Hajj a badal, the ma'mur, he may perform or she may perform any type of Hajj a badal, be it ifrad, be it kiran, or tamattu.
Alright, JazakAllah. 20 minutes to 10 o'clock, and we have a next question via SMS saying, Assalamu alaikum. I want to know, I have read my istikhara 3 times. 2 times I saw the person, 1 time I didn't. This was on different occasions, and I saw person first time on all occasions, sir.
Repeat the last part, Malala.
Yes, sir, the last part I don't understand as well. I'll try to make it out as to what it means. But the crux is that she saw the person, or he saw the person, twice in the istikhara, and 1 time this person never see the person. So what is the masala, sir?
As far as istikhara is concerned, we should know a few basic points. One is that after performing of istikhara, then the person who makes the istikhara need not dream. People are under the impression that for the validity of istikhara salat, or the result of istikhara salat is, naturally they feel there is going to be a dream. A dream is not a necessity. No malaika or angel is going to come and tell you what to do. Basically, if you get a dream and you know how to interpret it yourself, do it. Otherwise, ask one of your well-wishers to interpret the dream so that he does it properly, correctly, and tries to make an interpretation in your favor. The whole idea of istikhara is to seek divine assistance and guidance. Now, after istikhara salah, a person may get an inclination. Shall I, for example, a person making istikhara, shall I buy the shop or not? Then need not necessary that he sees the shop and there is business in the shop, or need not necessary he sees the shop burning. But what he may feel that, oh, I should go and do this action. Or, no, when he gets up, he feels extremely depressed, sad, and gloomy. Then he knows he must not move forward. We have written on this in one of our books. You can see it on our website. Our website is also linked to Radio Islam's website. Mm. Our website is alislam.co.za.
Alright, so the next question is from a brother. He wants to know, can I read my salah in my car sitting down?
The nafil salat you can perform in your car seated, obviously provided you got wuzu, and if you can face the qibla, that is better.
Alright. Salam Swahi Atmati says, what happens, Mufisab, when in the 5 days of Hajj a person does not spend the last 2 days in Mina by making a lame excuse? Please advise, what is the matter?
There are various aspects here. One is that the person did not stay in Mina for the last 2 days of the 5 days. That means he made Rabi a Jamara of the big Jamara and he went away to Makkah to Mukarramah or Azizia, and then he went to Makkah to perform the Tawaf Ziyarah and stayed away either in Makkah or Azizia. Now, according to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, to stay in Mina for those last 2 days is Sunnah Mu'akkadah. According to Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, it is wajib. However, yeah, the question here is saying, due to lame feeble excuse, lame excuse. Now, to discard the noble sunnah due to a lame excuse is not becoming of a good, practical, pious, righteous Muslim. A good, pious, righteous Muslim will make every effort to come back to Mina. Yes, if a person after Tawaf al-Ziyarah was extremely tired and fatigued and sick, and then developing some sort of a valid excuse, shari excuse, then he can stay away, or they stay away due to that valid shari excuse. But a lame excuse, that is not conducive to Hajj performance and Hajj activities. We who go for Hajj, and especially when you wait to make Hajj once in a lifetime, you should try to fulfill the mustahabat, let alone leave out these sunnah. You should perform the wajibat, the sunnah, the mustahabat, everything, and make it as valid as possible for acceptance to take place.
So I just thought that answers the question. The next question is mostly simple. The brother wants to know, he's got two questions. The one is, does one have to raise the hands while making dua? And the second question is, what is the dua to conceive a baby boy?
Here's the question again from the starting brother.
Yes, the first one is, does one have to raise the hands while making dua?
That is general dua.
Ji.
Not after salat or no, just a general dua.
Just a general dua, ji.
It is part of ethics and mannerism. It is part of noble behavior of a Muslim to raise hands whilst making dua. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pattern was that when he was making dua, and this is to show humbleness and meekness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to raise the hands and to plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this shows extreme servitude, servanthood, and bandagi before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also to raise the hands, we must know how to do that. Many people unfortunately do not know how to raise the hands. The hands should be raised parallel to the chest, and both hands should be raised towards the face direction or a little upwards towards the sky, and there should be a little gap between the two hands. This is the method of raising hands for dua. We have seen some very, very strange methods of raising hands whilst making dua. Second question, I do not know at this stage. We will try to check that, inshallah.
All right, inshallah. JazakAllah, please. The next question is, regarding the future funeral rites of a Muslim's Hindu parent.
What about it?
The brother just says, what is the masala regarding the future funeral rites of a Muslim's Hindu parent?
First of all, we should not pray that they die in any deen other than Islam. That's our first concern, first effort to be made that by our noble character, good personality, and our interaction, aiding them, supporting them, winning them over to Islam. This should be our uppermost and foremost concern, not that we make preparations to bury them and see them off towards Jahannam. We should not be making dua in that direction. Whilst they are alive, to give them dawah and to make dua, to invite them to the noble deen of Islam and make dua for them. However, on their demise, and if they have not as yet accepted Islam, then a person can aid as much as he can or as much as he wants to aid them financially, but definitely cannot participate in their rituals, their customs, their functions before the burial, during the burial, and after the burial.
Right, but also the next question is, Salam Swanana, my question is that if I read namaz and completed it, and then I had a doubt whether I read two or three rakats, must I repeat it or not?
This is a typical problem which many people experience these days. And if you do not take control of this problem, it will escalate, and unfortunately, that Shaitan will get hold of you and you will doubt, let alone your number of rakats in Salah. Then you will start doubting, did I wash my face or did I wipe my feet properly or have I put water in the nostrils? All sorts of strange, weird doubts will occur even in the wuzu. So you should have a positive stance and say positively that it is two or three. And even if it is erroneous in the first decision of yours, but make a firm, positive decision that this is the second rakat or this is the third rakat, and do not waver for a minute in your decision resolution. Otherwise, Shaitan is going to take hold of you. It is stated in the books of Hadith that there is a Shaitan called Wahan who disturbs a person while making
Salah. Alright. So the next question is on SMS. When performing Salah with a Jamaat and you must one or more rakat, when should you stand to read your must rakat or rakat? After the Imam has made the first or the second Salam.
Some scholars are saying after the second Salam, and they are insistent on this. We are of the humble opinion that even after the first Salat, because by now you know that the Imam has read At-Tahiyyat and Durood Ibrahim and the Dua. If there was a Sijda Sahv coming, then he should have done it after recitation of the At-Tahiyyat. So we are of the humble opinion that after the commencement of the first Salam, the person may stand, the Masbuk, the latecomer, may stand to complete the Salam.
Alright, the next question is, Salams, Mufisab, I have not consummated my marriage for 3 years and the spouse does not support child or me. Has nikah been automatically terminated or not?
Nikah has not been automatically terminated. The termination of nikah is by issuing of the divorce. Although the consummation of the marriage has not taken place for 3 years, but because the nikah is valid, now to invalidate that nikah, there has to be a talaq.
Alright. The next question is, Assalamu alaikum, is there a way to calculate qasr al-salah?
Qasr al-salah?
Yes.
Or qaza al-salah?
Qasr al-salah, brother, right.
Salah is very simple, that what's your journey?
Yes.
Once you're on a Shari journey, according to our research, 88.8 to 6 kilometers, then you are a Musafir, and if you have intended to traverse that amount of kilometers, then upon leaving your area of your locality, then you will become a Musafir, a person on journey automatically, then you can make Safar.
Alright. So the next question, what is that, is on computer, anonymous sister. She says, I was divorced 8 years ago, everything is gone. The father took my two children, one of them is a girl and the other is a boy. The father or my husband didn't support me at all. The girl used to support me while she was in college, but now not. The boy is now 20 years old, he's also in college, but he doesn't work and he doesn't want to support me at all. So the sister wants to know, that isn't it in Islam that the son must support and look after his mother?
A good son will definitely care for his mother. A good biological son will care for his mother and should care for his mother. Now in this case here, that the son will come up with 200 excuses that he does not have adequate funding and finances to support his mother. However, in the light of Sharia, it is becoming of the son to fund and to financially assist and aid his mother who has been widowed.
Alright, the next question is via SIS. Salams, I would like to know, there's a lot of jealousy where I'm working and I am always sick. I've been to countless Mawlanas who say the people I work with are harming me with jadu. What is the punishment for these people and what can I read, Mufti Sahab?
You should be first of all very cautious. If you are a female, you should not be working. And you should not be going to those places. We are firm on this opinion that the man is responsible for the care, upliftment, support, guardianship, financial upkeep of the female. And the female should not go as commercial property, commercial merchandise, and should not be flaunted out onto the roadsides, onto the offices, airways, etc., to earn money. This is not the role and responsibility of females in Islam. So, first of all, if you are a female, then you should consider seriously, as it is you are saying you are getting sick, that you should consider seriously of leaving. If you are a male or a female, then you should be cautious. Unfortunately, these days, there are so many out there who, when you go to them for taweez, or you go where they will remove some nazar, jadu, jinnat, most of them are not qualified personnel, and most of them are con artists, and most of them do not even understand the sciences which they are dealing with. So you should be extremely cautious. Sir, let some of your saliva reach that water and drink it prior to reading the majlis, with some intention that you want to protect yourself from jadu, jinnat, and nazar. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant kifaya kamila ajila mustamira.
Ameen, inshallah. And also very important, and we must be very careful as to who we go to. And Muqtasab said, inshallah, we must read the mandil, read the four pools, and Ayatul Kursi, and inshallah, Allah Rabbul Izzat will protect us. The next question is, Muqtasab, is it makruh for a mother to live with a daughter and son-in-law while the sons are alive, but her husband isn't, the sons aren't financially stable?
It is not makruh in this case that has been stipulated, that she has opted to live with her son-in-law. Her son-in-law is her mahram. She could go for Hajj with him, and she is saying here clearly that her sons are not financially stable and they are not in a economical position to help her, support her. Therefore, she can stay with her son-in-law. In this case, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the son-in-law adequately.
So my next question is, anonymous sister, is a person must sadaqatul fitr for some years without knowing, what must he do?
You should estimate how much of sadaqatul fitr has been not given. So, for example, if a person has not given Sadaqat al-Fitr for the last 10 years, say that 10 times 11, and then take that figure and give that 110 rand out in nafil sadaqa, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompensate the folly, error, mistake, and sin.
Alright. So the next question via SMS is, Salam Singh, a person tell you the future, even if there is misfortune with your children, is it allowed in Islam? And the person says, brother, we had an experience where someone told us the future, and I'm still very upset by what he has told us, as my parents believe it, but I don't, as he has told me I will have a misfortune in my life.
The Sharia of Islam highly detests those people who go to such soothsayers, astrologers, palm readers, and those who claim they can see the future. This is absolutely un-Islamic, and it is a major sin to go to these astrologers, soothsayers, palm readers. And it is such a sin that a person's 40 days salat after visiting one of these rascals is not accepted. So if people, if they hypothetically speaking knew about the future, what are they reading palms and saying about the future? They should be multi-millionaires. They will know what to do on the stock exchange, or Allah protect us, they will know how to gamble professionally, etc. Why are they wasting their time for tuppence reading people's palms and saying people's futures? Muslims must never ever believe in these things. No one knows in entirety the future. Not even the Anbiya alayhi salam knew the knowledge in totality of the unseen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in totality the knowledge of the unseen. Your stand is correct. You should not believe in what that soothsayer, astrologer, or palm reader, or whatever it is, rascal has stated. They are no authorities, and no one can say what is going to happen in the future. Surah Luqman in the last verses explains this in detail. Allah elucidates and expounds on this in detail.
Alright, JazakAllah Mufti Sahib, you used the word rascal. I was waiting for you to use the word ignoramus. Anyway, JazakAllah, that's on the lighter side. Mufti Sahib, JazakAllah so much. It's already almost 10 o'clock. JazakAllah for your valuable and your precious time. May Allah make it a means of yours and your family's maghfirat, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and your family the best of rewards. And to the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite, inshallah, if you still have questions in the course of the week, you can fax us your questions, and the fax number at Radio Islam is 011-854-7024, and the email address is info@radioislam.co.za. Mufti Ilyas Sam, Jazakumullah, and we humbly ask you to make dua for us as well, Mufti Sam.
Ameen, inshallah. Ameen. We will be dua.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.